Blog Talk Radio.
You see, I got something to say. You see, I got something to say, show. You see, I got something to say. You see, I got something to say, show. You see, I got something to say.
Stiletto Diva throwdown, we locking the showdown. Sports talk, here comes D Slate with sports information to keep you wide awake. And he's always on the move. Mr. Norfolk gonna say something new. On the go with CK. Turn up the radio for the quarter of the day. Turn up the radio for the quarter of the day. Turn up the radio for the quarter of the day.
Don't wait for the world to recognize your greatness. Live it and let the world catch up with you. That is a post from Poetic's Favorite Pulse. Today is Monday, March the 18th, 2013. Another wonderful segment for the I Got Something to Say radio show. I am the hostess with the mostest on the microphone, Poetic Justice, P-O-E-T-I-K-K Justice, and affectionately known as Miss Fabulous. We hope that you tune in, stay with us, because we have a wonderful, a fabulous show for you, no pun intended, of course, but we have the famed actor, director, producer, and so many other talents behind his name. I'm speaking about no other than the very, very awesome Gary Sturgis, who will be joining us on tonight. Some of his best roles he's been shown in as Joe on Daddy's Little Girls, Pride with the late Bernie Mac and Terrence Howard, and so many other movies, sitcoms, and things imaginably that this man has been involved with. So sit back, relax, and don't go anywhere. We're also going to have with us on tonight, of course, our CEO, our producer, no other than Mr. D. Slate is in the building. What's going on, D. Slate?
Hey, D. Slate, how are you guys doing? What's going on, PJ? How you doing, CK? My people's in the building. D. Slate is here, ready and able to get this going on the I Got Something to Say radio show.
Thank you. Thank you so very much, D. Slate. And once again, he is the CEO of the D. Hour Show Radio Network, one of the best, more favorable independent radio stations on Blog Talk Radio. And we also have got in the studio on tonight. We have our correspondent and our co-host. I'm speaking about no other than CK, our Charming King. What's going on, CK, on tonight?
Hey, PJ. Hey, B. Slate. How's everybody doing tonight? I am too excited.
We are good. Charmin King is in the building. How are you doing, brother?
I'm good. Did you have a great
weekend? Absolutely. Yes. Well, thank you, CK. So once again, we're going to get it in. We're going to have our fabulous news with your birthdays and, you know, information, of course. We're going to have Poetic's Picks, the quote of the day with CK, Make Your Move Monday Jam, and also the barcode note, which we're going to be talking about women who are in the industry. And also, we're going to have our very special guest to provide us with some very, very captivating information. Of course, I'm talking about actor, director, producer, Gary Sturgis. So once again, sit back, relax, don't go nowhere. It's yours truly, Miss Fabulous. D. Slate and CK are in the building and soon to join us. Yes, Gary Sturgis. The time is now 4 minutes after the hour, 4 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick musical break, and when we come back, we're going to prepare for that fabulous news. We're going to go into a Make Your Move Monday jam. You know, if you ask me how I'm doing just fine. Don't go nowhere. It's the I Got Something to Say radio show, the Hour Show Radio Network. Let's go.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
we are back live. It's 9 minutes after the hour. 9 minutes after the hour, and it's the I Got Something to Say Radio Show. We're yours truly, Miss Fabulous. We have D Slate in the building. We have CK in the building. And soon and shortly, we will have our special distinguished guest in the building, Mr. Gary Sturgis, actor, director, producer. He's been seen in a lot of different movies and done a lot of things, so we appreciate you for tuning in on tonight. If you want to be a part of the show live, the number is 718-766-4553. That number, once again, is 718-766-4553. You doing all right, D Slate? How's your weekend?
I'm doing good. I'm doing just fine. Fine. Oh, I'm doing good.
Of course, yes. And for the Make You Move Monday jam, that was the very lovely, gifted, and talented Mary J. Blige with Doing Fine or Just Fine. And CK, how was your weekend? I hope it was fine or better.
My weekend was pretty good. I had a lot of fun with my son, who just turned 9 on Sunday.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday. What's your son's name?
Oh, happy birthday, little CK. Mm-hmm.
Yes, nice. Yes. Should we call him Charming King or Charming Prince? So that means
Charming.
He would be CP.
CP, yeah, I like that. Look at CP. Happy birthday, CP.
He got a long ways to go.
Absolutely. Well, happy birthday to CK's son. What's his name again?
Kimani.
Happy birthday.
Yes, absolutely. Well, what we're going to do right now is go ahead and get into the fabulous news. Got a couple of stories for you that's going to make your hair turn, literally. If you are anywhere within the vicinity of a television or a radio, of course, you've been hearing the news about Lil Wayne still being hospitalized. This information comes by way of LATimes.com. The time of reporting at that one was 11:58 a.m. Eastern Standard, so not really certain about the progression, but at that time, after being hospitalized in Los Angeles following a series of seizures last week, Lil Wayne, who has visited several high-profile associates, such as Nicki Minaj, Drake, Birdman, and basketball player Chris Paul. The Birdman tweeted that the rapper will be home real soon, and a source very close to Wayne told the Times on Friday that he was recovering. There are a lot of different rumors going around that, you know, his health is declining and he's near death and, you know, or he's doing exceptionally well. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to say this. Put your prayers in place and remove yourself from the rumors. You know, times like this, you know, I think that will probably be kind of tasteless and more or less just not necessary. Prayers go up for Lil Wayne, and we hope that you recover very, very soon, and everything goes well. We're going to go ahead and move right along to the Pope. The new elected Pope, Pope Francis, meets the Argentine president, and he smooths out tensions. This also comes by way of LA Times. Pope Francis and the president, Fernandez, have had a conversation in terms of making up and a private meeting at the Vatican. It was stated, "Never in my life has a pope kissed me," stated the president, Fernandez, as he was very, very joyous. And he stated further that we want a dialogue, and that's why we asked the Pope to intervene so the dialogue could be successful. So with all the things going along in the world, to have a Pope who was very hands-on and, you know, willing to kind of be interactive in the lives of others and making this country go around as it should, good for you, Pope Francis. By other ways of news, Lindsay Lohan strikes a plea deal to serve 90 days in jail in lockdown rehab, sentenced to 5 days in jail for violating probation. Excuse me, and I clear my throat one more time. How many more times or what else needs to be done in order for people to serve their time when they are deserving maybe it's a different breed of people. Maybe some things are catered specifically to certain people. I don't know. But at the same time, I'm telling you, nine lives would be best suited for that conversation, and I'm going to digress and move on. By way of Cookie Hoax, now this is a very horrendous story that really, really made my, I don't know, one bee weave turn to the other side. Girl Scout scammed out of, get this, CK and D-Slate, $24,000.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I was silent just as you. Yes. Apparently someone ordered like $24,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies, and when it was time for the delivery, they were like, psych, I'm sorry, just playing. Nope, don't want them. So, you know, a lot of people in various communities pulled together once they learned out of 6,000 boxes of cookies. Troops in Oregon prompted a community bailout. So a lot of people gave of their money and their time to try to recoup some of the funds in which the cookies were ordered. I'm telling you, when you do things like this, remember karma. She may not necessarily be in the same room at the time of any given circumstance. However, she comes back to visit quite often.
I mean,
and
how
last
you gonna
but
take
not
them?
Least, I'm sorry,
I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, how are you going to take some money from those cute little girls that are out there, you know, proud of being a part of the Girl Scout Nation and, you know, wanting to make money and you know, for the Girl Scouts and selling the cookies? I know, how are you going to do something like that? I mean, I just, somebody need a steel-toe boot in their ass. I mean, they really do.
You're pretty nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to keep on for the sake of girl power. Maybe you may not find this story to be girl power, and it's crazy in the order in which I put it, but what a quickie. Wow. Well, that's a new name for a lottery ticket, sparks and concerns in Maine. Yes, my next-door neighbor, I'm from Beantown. So convenience store owners in Maine are connected that the state lottery wants to rebrand scratch-off lottery tickets as quickies. That's going to be real uncomfortable for my girls behind the register to have guys to come in and say, hey, give me a quickie. That's what one of the owners stated. And then he says, highly inappropriate, and that was a commentary from another store owner. Come in and joke around with me. Say, can I get a quickie? I'm only 19 years of age, and I have 40 and 50-year-old men saying sexual remarks to me. The newspaper provided some helpful content. In Slang's terms, a quickie is a short sexual encounter. And in closing, the state lottery sells an instant ticket priced between $1 and $20 at about $1.3 million in various retail stores, or should I say even more than that, $30 million a year for the state general fund. And I digress. Excuse me. Birthdays on today. Happy birthday to one of the singers and guitarists for the very, very popular band Maroon 5. Yes, I'm talking about Adam Levine from The Voice. He's 34 years old today. And my home girl from New Jersey. We got a Jersey girl in the building. I'm talking about actress, philanthropist, producer, musician, you name it. I'm talking about Queen La. Queen Latifah is 43 years of age today. I mean,
yes,
she is really, really, yes, taking over the industry. And happy birthday. And to a former Miss America that went on to music and a dramatic success, I'm talking about no other than Vanessa Williams, is 50 years old on today. And then Irie Cara, yes, from the show Fame, as Coco Hernandez. In 1980, she turns 54 today. I love that show. I love that show.
Okay.
And one of our legendary singers, Wilson Pickett, he has a birthday on today, the 1960 Soul Star recorded in the midnight hour. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another wonderful segment of the Fabulous News. Continue to celebrate women around the world as March is National Women's Month. So get out there and do something. Today is also Blah, Blah, Blah Day. I don't know what that's supposed
blah,
to mean,
blah.
But blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah, blah.
Well,
blah,
we're going to keep things moving. Yes, yes, yes. Keep things moving. It is Miss Fabulous. It is D Slay and it is CK in the building on tonight. What we're going to do right now is to go ahead and get into our poetics picks. And when we come back, hopefully we will have a very talented, gifted, handsome, my homeboy, yes, I know you, I see you. I'm talking about Gary Sturgis will be in the studio with us on tonight. It's the I Got Something to Say radio show, the D-Hour Show Radio Network, Blog Talk right to you. And the time is now 19 minutes after the hour. If you're listening, don't go nowhere. I mean absolutely nowhere, not even to the restroom. It's the I Got Something to Say show, Poetics Picks. Let's go, y'all.
Definitely style. I'm loving your smile and the way you get down. Now I can't see no one else. It's you by yourself, yeah, in spite of the crowd.
Maybe no one else matters.
You started off with the kiss, never expecting this. So now I'm in coping with my addiction.
I'm addicted to you.
We are back live. It is 27 minutes after the hour. Yes, we just coming out of Poetic Picks. Number one kicked off at Addicted, and that was by Ryan Leslie. And number two came in at the very lovely, talented singer actress Jill Scott. It is I, Miss Fabulous, that is here on the dial, your radio that we're talking about, independent radio, the D Hour Show Radio Network of Blog Talk Radio. Try to say all of that with jelly beans. Yeah, that'd be quite difficult. That is Miss Fabulous, Miss Such as I. And we also have D Slate in the building and CK in the building. So we're going to keep things moving like you all. If you can hear me, clap twice. If you can hear me, clap twice. Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to go ahead and just get in with CK right now, if he can give us the quote of the day. And then after that point, we're just going to have some dialogue until our special guest gets in the studio with us, if that's all right. If you want to be a part of tonight's show, 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553. I'd like to give a couple of shout-outs to some very special people listening in, my cousins and Tamika Winborn, filmmaker, who was the person responsible for looking out for a sister to get, you know, the very talented Gary Sturgis on. So definitely want to shout out and my cousin Andre Johnson. Hey, said I say senior. So hey, everybody. But let's go ahead and get it in real quick with CK for the quote of the day. CK?
All right. Thank you, PJ.
All right.
Let me clear my throat for this. So, you know, like I've been saying, this is National Women's History Month, and I still believe in Black History Month 365. So here's the quote today from a very famous person. If a song's about something I've experienced or that could have happened to me, it's good. But if it's alien to me, I couldn't lend anything to it, because that's what soul is all about. I quote one more time. If a song's about something I experienced or that could have happened to me, it's good. But if it's alien to me, I couldn't lend anything to it, because that's what soul is all about. And that's taken from the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin.
All right. Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, thank you so much for that, CK. Really appreciate that. Well, what I also wanted to do is talk about the fact that March is National Women's Month, and as you noted, CK, that Black History is 365. There are some amazing, amazing, amazing women who are in the industry that are doing things beyond their craft, be it music, be it arts, be it so forth, visual mediums or what have you. They are doing great things, so I definitely want to salute to all of my sisters, and when I say sisters, I don't mean sister by meaning African-American, to all of my women that are doing great things and that are making strides and changes within your communities. I salute you. I salute you. To my brothers, definitely, my brothers that are making great strides, I want to say salute to you as well. Well, what we're going to go ahead and do is take a commercial break right now. Producer, is that possible for us to pay a couple of bills right now?
Yes, we can definitely pay a couple of bills, take a couple of commercial breaks, absolutely. We can do that.
All right. Well, that is our esteemed producer on the line and CEO of the D Hour Show Radio Network. So don't go nowhere. Keep it locked right here. If you're listening in, if you want to communicate with us on social networking site, definitely put your comments on our page, which is the IEYE Got Something to Say Radio Show. If you're my Facebook friend or, you know, any of our friends on Facebook, definitely give us your commentary, your favorite movies that include Gary Sturgis or, you know, anything of that nature. Shout out a phenomenal woman that is making great strides in the community for National Women's Month. We challenge you to do that on today, March Madness. So, you know, a lot of people are glued to the television, but I want to say shout out to my alumni for my undergrad and for my master's degree. shout out to Norfolk State University. That's right. Even though we lost by 2 in overtime, it's okay. We were out the playoffs and a little bit early in the season. It's okay in the tournament. It's okay. We still behold green and gold. I'm sure, CK and D-Slate, you heard about Norfolk State University in Norfolk, Virginia, that, you know, we were out in the beginning. And then, you know, the Hampton Pirates of Hampton University, they were soon to follow. So that's okay. It was still a great MEAC tournament. Norfolk benefited from a lot. And a lot of people came back to the area to have a great time. So now the last remaining months, or weeks rather, about madness, March Madness. You have any picks in your bracket, D-Slate, before we go to commercial?
I don't know. I'm looking at Louisville, possibly Indiana. That's a couple more I'm looking at, so we'll see.
Okay. What about you, CK? You have any picks in your bracket?
Currently at this time, no.
I'm sorry?
Okay. I said currently at this time, I don't.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Well,
all right.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't know if I got a sound, had got a sounder on me because I didn't, but okay.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you were like, so-and-so-and-so. I'm already the beatbox to clear the, you know, the dead space, you know, because we got to keep it moving, yes.
I was going to keep a couple scratches, you know, I mean, it was all good, though, you know.
Right. It was just a little pause. It was a pause, you know. We don't do pause. We got to keep it moving like you all. So, ladies and gentlemen of the I Got Something to Say radio show, we're going to go ahead and take another commercial break to pay a couple of bills. And when we come back, hopefully we will be in the studio with no other than actor director Gary Sturgis. Don't go nowhere. D-Slate, CK, Miss Fabulous on your dial. It's the I Got Something to Say radio show, 34 minutes after the hour. Let's go.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
What's up, cool world? My name is Serenatus Penn, and I welcome you to my blog review sessions, where I interview artistic, ambitious individuals just like you and me who want the world to know about their skills and talents. Check out my site, The Real Profiles of Rising Artistic Icons, at www.famousbynature.blogspot.com for my latest cover features, videos, and photos of my guests, and how you can subscribe and join to be the first to know about my next artist on the rise. You never know, you may be my next spotlight guest. Be a part of our future creators at Serenatus Penn Blog Review, where the talent starts and finishes with you.
Attention all shoemistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. It is 37 minutes after the hour. If you're just tuning in, I'm the hostess with the mostest on the microphone, Poetic Justice, and Miss affectionately known as Miss Fabulous. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. If I could date myself, woo, woo, woo. And also studio, yes, with our CEO, our executive producer, in particularly of the I Got Something to Say radio show, D. Slate is in the building. How are you, D. Slate?
Yes, indeed. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much. I Got Something to Say radio show. We're popping like all your favorite popcorn. Where's the butter?
Love it, love it, love it, like it, two times on FB. And also we have our correspondents and co-hosts, no other than CK is in the building. What's going on, CK?
Oh, nothing, just enjoying the time on the show. Looking forward to our special guest and looking forward to a great night.
Okay, it's almost like we got a resurgence here in the studio. You know, we're just hanging out, eating chips and, you know, dips and everything like that. So trying to catch a little bit of Dancing with the Stars as well as a little bit of the game and, you know, blogging on the sports blog, whatever. You know, so just talking mess or whatever. But I am so, so proud to announce at this particular moment in our lives, we have no other than the anticipated national celebrity. And, you know, the guy is so hot. Humble. He often doesn't even refer to himself as a celebrity. He's just cool like that. He's down like that. We out. No, we're not out. I need you to stay tuned because right now I need to introduce my brother, my friend, your actor, and your celebrity guest on the I Got Something to Say radio show. I'm talking about no other than Gary Anthony Sturgis is a New Orleans-born actor, writer, producer, director, best known as portrayal of a villain in two of Tyler Perry's biggest films, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, as Jameson Jackson, and Daddy's Little Girls as Joseph Woods. He also co-starred opposite of Terrence Howard and Pride, as well as the late, great Bernie Mac. Recently, he has broken a mold by a bad guy to co-star in various comedies and other great films. In addition, as also a professional voiceover artist, Sturgis has voiced network promos to include ESPN, UPN, TNT, CBS, PBS, Spike, and ABC, all of those acronyms, and cartoons and video games and so forth. This guy has a wonderful resume. Since Sturgis has been writing for many, many years, he has lent his hand to various projects, which gave him the accolades of director, producer. Yes, and not to say that all of these things encompass of Gary Anthony Sturgis. He's a mentor. He's a philanthropist giving back to various organizations, one in particular, Students Taking a New Direction Stand. Ladies and gentlemen of the I Got Something to Say radio show, Blog Talk Radio, the Hour Show Radio Network, please assist me in putting your right one and your left one together. Let's clap it up for our brother, our special guest, Gary Anthony Sturgis in the building.
Yeah, how y'all doing? I'm trying to bring that back. I'm trying to bring that back to 2013. We're trying to bring back what's up in 2013. So,
what's good, Jerry? How you doing?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. I can't complain. I want to say it's a beautiful day in California, but it was actually a gloomy day in California. So rains here. That's a lie. You know, it does do that from time to time. But otherwise, it's great, man. I can't complain. I'm happy to be on the show.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, once again, here we are. I'd like to just say thank you so, so very much for taking out your time and presenting us with an opportunity to get up close and personal with Gary Anthony Sturgis. I mean, you do so many things. It was more so of a shortcut application in terms of reading your elongated bio, and you do so much, and half of it wasn't even included in that. So I just wanted to say I'm so, so proud. We've had a great time this weekend on some other views and some other interviews and things of that nature. But nonetheless, you are here on the I Got Something to Say radio show. So let me introduce you around the studio and have some good times and kick it tonight. You ready to kick it? Ready to get
ready
it in, Kennedy?
Okay.
Well, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, and Gary as well, we have our CEO of the D-Hour Show Radio Network and our executive producer for the I Got Something to Say radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce formally to us and to Gary D. Slate, say hello to the very talented Gary Anthony Sturgis.
What's up, Gary? What's up?
I'm good, brother. I'm good.
Everything is back, man.
That's it. Well, I just want to say thank you. It's definitely an honor, man, and a pleasure to have you on the show with us tonight. And thank you so much for joining us.
The honor is all mine, man. The honor is all mine.
Yes, absolutely. And then we also have to my immediate right in my military left, I want to say that we have our correspondent as well as our co-host of the D-Hour Show Radio Network, but in particularly for the I Got Something to Say radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, CK, say what's up to a homeboy and our national guest for this evening, Gary Anthony Sturgis.
What's going on? How you doing?
I can't complain, brother. Can't complain.
That's what's up. That's all we're going to do. Can't complain.
Can't complain. Because I did. I always tell people, you know, I can complain, but ain't nobody really going to listen. When people ask you how you doing, you're supposed to say fine. If something's wrong, you're supposed to say fine. I got to share a story with y'all, and I know it's a little bit off the subject, but since this door is open, I got to take it. You know, when I was a kid, growing up in New Orleans, my grandmother was standing on the porch one day, and this man walks by. And this is going to show you how freedom of speech goes wrong. This man walks by. Yeah, I must be about maybe 12 years old. The guy walked by me, and I was like, oh, how you doing, Mr. Robinson? How you feeling? He said, oh, well, Miss Williams, my penis been sort of hurting me lately. And I looked at the man like, you don't say that to an old woman. Man, you don't say that to my grandmother. I was on the ground crying, laughing. All she said back to him was, oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Robinson. I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm thinking, ain't this is what I learned in life, that you're just supposed to say fine. No matter what's wrong with you, you're just supposed to say I'm fine.
I am so weak in so many different elements right now. Let me get myself together. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I mean. I mean, that was so unscripted. This is Gary all the time. I mean, you know, he is so totally different from the characters in which he's displayed in certain movie settings. I mean, he is so comedic. He is so down to earth, so level-headed. It's like another friend or family, like your cousin, you know, on your mama's side. You know, he's just so down to earth. So, Gary, mm-hmm. Gary, what has been going on with you? And let's go ahead and just kick it into, how did you actually get started in the industry? And what was your drive and motivation behind wanting to break into this thing that we call Hollywood?
Okay, well, it started off pretty simple. Like most people, I had a TV in my house. And growing up as a kid, you know, in the 70s, you started seeing a few black people on TV. And I would sit there and look at this stuff and be like, wow, that's so cool what they're doing. And my mom would say, yeah, they're actors. I said, they pay you for that? She's like, yeah, so that's what I want to do right there. I want to be one of the people that be in the boxes of everybody's house. And that's really how it started. Then I got to high school. I was a rather shy kid. But once I got to high school, I wrote an essay. And that essay got my English teacher, who was an actress, to take me to a theater. And that theater was where Anthony Bean, I think it was Ethiopian Project Theater, they had a reading for Raising in the Sun. And the guy who was mm-hmm. supposed to play Asagai didn't show up. So they asked me to read in. I read in, they gave me the part, and I've been acting ever since.
Wow.
No formal training. No, I mean, I'll be the first to say it. I've had no formal training. I had, you know, outside of, you know, it's like one, acting is like one of those things you learn on the job. So mm-hmm. by doing it, you know, by being around older people who were seasoned in doing it, I was always the youngest guy at the theater. So I was always around all these older people. I mean, I learned a lot of stuff. Like, you know, we had one of those theaters that was actually, it was a sweet shop in the daytime and a theater at night. You know what I'm saying? When we kind of looked up.
That's right.
And, you know, it was like that. So we had one dressing room. And, you know, I'm a high school kid. And I'm watching all these grown women and men, like, totally jump out of clothes and other clothes. And after a while, you start realizing, we working. None of this really matters. And I got very comfortable with stuff like that. And to this day, anybody who works on any movie set, especially some of you low-budget producers that I've worked for that didn't have a trailer for me, you know, I didn't have a room for me to get dressed in, they've all seen me like it's nothing. Take off my clothes in broad daylight outside in front of everybody and change my clothes. At the end of the day, I just got to get wardrobe. I really don't care about all the fluff and frills and all that other stuff. You need me in this suit, I need to be in this suit in 10 minutes. You don't have a space for me to put it on. Oh, we got to clean drawers before we're about to start undressing. And that's just how I've been like since the end. So it's just, you know, I got to keep it real. I keep it real.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We got to get the job done. I don't worry about all that kind of stuff because I grew up in theater, and in theater, that was, you know, we had a sweet shop. So it was kind of like everybody got used to undressing in front of everybody. So I just kind of, mm-hmm. that never left me. So I never was one of those people. I remember I did a movie called Battlefield America with Chris Stokes. And one day I show up to set, and there were so many actors there with the kids that day that they were one room short. So they didn't have my mm-hmm. name on the room. I didn't complain. I just sort of hung around my car. They're like, well, Gary, where's the room? I don't know. They said, we got a room for you inside the building. So I go inside right. the building. By that time, I already changed twice. So they were going to be changing. I was like, why you changing? I'm like, nobody gave me a room. I said, oh, no, we got to find him a room. I said, it's too late, man. Change. You know, I'm pretty in clothes now. So I never let that kind of stuff bother me. I mean, one thing you said about me that's honest to God is true. I'm just a regular guy, man. I told you when we first talked a few weeks ago, I told you, I'm just a guy who does a public job and do it well. But I'm just a regular guy. You know, everybody meets me and think, oh, he's a superstar. I'm like, I'm just a dude, man. I ain't all that. You know, I'm just a guy.
That's right.
Who
That's
loves
right.
what he does. I put my pants on one pant leg at a time like everybody else. I mean, it's a public job, and I'm glad that people get to see my work and like my work, but people, you know, anybody who walks up to me anywhere, in any city, I'm going to talk to everybody, take pictures with everybody. I'm not that guy that represents, I guess, how people look at the entertainment business, like, you know, you guys are all stuck up and you think you're better than us and all. And some entertainers have created that, but trust me when I tell you I'm not that guy. You can come talk to me at any time. I'll take pictures with you, your mom and them, your cousin and them, all y'all. Come on, line up for the photos. I'm going to take photos until y'all cameras run out of batteries. That's what we do. So I'm all about
That's
the
right.
people. I can't eat unless you guys support what it is I'm doing. So y'all got my attention.
Absolutely. And I noticed that you said two things that would draw me into my next question, and then I'm going to also allow for my co-host to kind of get it in with you in a Q&A, but more so of a conversational type of setting. And hopefully we have some callers on the line, because when we know that we were going to have you on the show, people were literally ecstatic to be able to hear about your upcoming projects, your current projects, and not just kind of like put you in a box with, oh, that's the guy from Daddy's Little Girls. No, Gary Anthony Sturgis is so much more. You all have no idea. It's going to take two shows or maybe three to tell about all the things that you've done and things in planning. So when you say y'all and them, I noticed that there was an accent. Where do you hail from? Where does Gary Anthony Sturgis hail from?
I am from the Ninth Ward of New Orleans, Louisiana, the part where the most water was when Katrina happened.
Wow.
I'm from the lowest part of the city, you know. Everybody from home that might be listening, or anybody that's from Louisiana, you do know what the Ninth Ward is. That's we all watch it on TV. That's the part where you saw people standing on their roofs at. That's where I lived at. So, I'm from New Orleans.
So you're from the home of
I was going to say Tremé. Tremé is a section of New Orleans, right?
Yeah, it's a section of New Orleans that's sort of adjacent. It's like it's adjacent to the French Quarter. I think it's Saint Claude that separates the two, but it's adjacent to the French Quarter. But it's kind of like where the Black side starts. The French Quarter represents, you know, where the predominantly white tourist area is, and then Tremé is where the Black stuff starts. So it's not very far from the French Quarter.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, what I'm going to do right now is go ahead and allow you to get some questions. I know my producer and the CEO of the Hour Show Radio Network is very, very ecstatic in speaking with you. So, Dee Slate, what type of questions do you have for Gary Sturgis on tonight?
Well, Gary, so I take it you're also a Saints fan.
Of course, huge Saints fan. I'm sitting up there waiting for Nambi Asomugha sign right now. I'm like, come on, Nambi, we need you, man.
I know. I've been trying to keep up with it myself, trying to figure out when he gonna sign and when some of these other cats gonna sign. But that's good. That's a nice. I like Drew Brees, man. I love the Saints, man. They got a really nice team. I felt kind of bad for him last season, but I really do hope they pick it up in the coming NFL season.
Well,
I think they got a really good team.
I think if we saw what happened last year, you know, the NFL. It's all politics, you know. Historically, no team has ever hosted a Super Bowl, and the Saints were in a position to do just that. You know, they're definitely a playoff contender. They were in a position to do that for the first time. A team was in a position to do it. And, of course, the worst commissioner in football history, Roger Goodell, goes on, oh, you guys are spending for bounty stuff. Everybody does that. Everybody just pays
for it.
Everybody does it. They've been doing it since they had the leather helmets. You know what I'm saying? This is not new in football. So it's called incentive. Everybody plays for incentive. Nobody's out there trying to ruin anybody's career and stuff like that, but it's definitely about laying down the hats. That's just what it is. It's football, people. Goodell's turning this into a touch football league, and I don't like that too much. But this year, things are going to be a little bit better. We got Rob Ryan as a defensive coordinator, so the defense is definitely going to be better. We got our coach back, because it goes to show, even with a good team, without a good leader, you're not going to go far. So we got one of the greatest coaches in the NFL right now. We got Sean Payton back. We got crazy Rob Ryan. So we got one of those crazy Ryan boys over there. And that defense is going to step up. That defense is going to step up now. It's going to be crazy on the sidelines now. So I'm looking forward to the football season.
Yeah, I definitely can't wait. And I agree with you. They were in line to definitely be one of the first teams to host a Super Bowl. And I do agree. And it's not just us as fans. But, I mean, there's a lot of NFL players that are upset with Roger Goodell as well for making a lot of
he's making the NFL a no fun league.
And you're right. And it's really getting a little ridiculous. I know a lot of the players are really getting really angry about it. And hopefully he'll change his ways and he'll make football fun again. But that's just something that he's in position to do himself, and that's something that he needs to really take a long look at. And just understand that it's not about him, it's about the players and as well as the fans. So,
and I understand, and I want to say this too. We will take into consideration player safety, because I understand, that a lot of these guys are walking around years later with concussions and memory loss and problems like that. I understand that, but that's no different than in boxing and any other contact sport. This is why you get paid $100 million. There's a reason why you get paid that kind of money. You know what I'm saying? Because you're putting your body at risk for entertainment purposes. So at the end of the day, it's no different than a wrestler or a boxer or anybody else that's in a physical sport. They got the best doctors, the best medical staff, and they're well compensated. I understand the need for safety, but it's a contact sport. People are going to get hurt. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like contact, play touch football, tennis, golf.
No doubt.
Now, if you don't like contact sports, I'm saying go play something that has no contact.
That's real.
This is football. Ain't no crying in football. This is football.
I have to say this
because we're on the topic of football. That's what I wanted to be honest with you, before I became an actor. My original plan, I liked acting, and that's what I wanted to get into eventually, but I really wanted to be a football player. I would have been a great wide receiver. I would have been a skinny, fast, can catch anything type of guy. I would have been like the Deion Sanders of wide receivers, because Deion Sanders don't like to get hit. He ran and avoided people because he didn't like to get hit. That was me. I hated getting hit. So I would have been very elusive out there as a wide receiver, but my mama, we grew up in New Orleans. We had good times, bad times. Right around the time I was ready to play football, my mom was like, boy, we ain't got no insurance. I ain't going to get out there and get hurt. I ain't got no insurance. So they wanted to put me in the band. And playing music is what got me into acting. So I thank her for that. But I do wonder what would have happened if I'd had a chance to catch that pigskin.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm similar in that aspect as well, because I wanted to play football as well, and my mom was like, I don't think so. And I think I would have been a really great player as well. I think I would have been in the NFL right now, but that's just me. But I do agree. Moms, when they think about that,
my mama, she the kind of woman that make you start to get afraid because her fears start to get on you. Like, you don't get hurt. I'm thinking, I've been playing on the street, running the car, but I ain't been hurt. Now you tell me I'm going to get hurt. Now I'm going to worry about getting hurt. I'm going to get hurt. I don't have that.
That's
surgery.
Real.
We laugh about it now. I mean, nowadays, I'm still kicking it. And by the way, my mom and dad, this is always funny. I love telling people the story. My father's name is Abraham, and my mother's name is Sarah. And that is the truth.
Wow.
My mother and father, Abraham and Sarah, and we never went to church as children. It's funny. I said, what a contradiction in Sarah. They got Abraham and Sarah and parents, and we don't go to church, because back then, my mom used to feel like right now you're hearing all these stories about these pastors and these popes and these ministers that's nothing with children and all that kind of stuff. So that was her fear back then. The little churches and stuff, she gets stories and stuff. I ain't going on that. I'm going with you, that type of thing. And now here it is 20, 30 years later, you hear this stuff in the news all the time. Back then, it was one of those things you kind of buried under the rugs in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? 70s, 80s, you kind of. You're one or two people now. Every famous preacher out there got a record of touching somebody. That's just crazy to me.
No, it is. No, you're absolutely right. And you hear it all the time.
You hear it all the time now. And I'm amazed by that because I'm like, wow, you know, this is the place you're supposed to go to get the word and to feel safe and to feel comforted. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, how you doing? What? Pastor?
One of my questions for you, Gary. I noticed that you you've done a lot of voice artist work as well. I know it's a lot of artists, and I mean a lot of actors and actresses in the industry. You know, do a lot of voiceover work and voice work for networks and cartoons and video games. I know a lot of people probably don't know T.C. Carson. From Living Single plays the voice for the character in God of War on the video game.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed you did some as well. I mean, for Static Shock, I actually used to watch that Batman. As an actor, how much fun did you have doing some of the voiceover work for some of the cartoons and some of the video games?
The cartoons and video games are the best. Now, here's the upside and the downside. Because especially with video games, more so than cartoons, that's a new market. So they still haven't found a way to tax these people in the sales of these games so that we can make money later on. So a lot of the deals are straight buyout deals when you take them. But I mean, you get to be in some of the most played games in the world, and everybody loves that. So that's not a bad thing. So, as far as doing them, it's like acting with a microphone because you still have to give up a performance because you're playing a character that people will eventually see on a cartoon or eventually see in a video game. But the funniest thing about it is when we first do it, it's no more than a script. And a director that's sitting on the other side of the glass that has a script that tells them everything that's happening. Our script only has lines. So they'll say, okay, and they give you these visual things. They say, okay, right now you're falling off of a building, and you make me all, ooh, you make it sound like you fall, and all of a sudden you read the line as if you're falling. So you give you directions of how to read stuff because they know later on how they're going to animate it. So
you come back
later, maybe 6 months later, you'll come back, and they'll show you what they've actually created. And wherever they couldn't get your voice to match or the performance to match what they created with the animation, you go back and reread that. And now you get a chance to see the character that you play. That has always been the funniest thing to me because I remember there was a video game out there, I think it was Red Faction. I was a big muscle-bound Russian-looking white dude. You know,
when I
was a big white dude. So you never know, what these characters are going to look like. And we did Static Shock. The character E-Bomb that I played, they would videotape us when we would make that cartoon. And then they created the characters with some similarities to us. Like, if you notice that character, though he was a shadow, he had cornrows.
Wait a minute.
At the time
you
I was doing
E-Bomb?
That job, I played E-Bomb.
Wow.
Yeah. I was
wow.
E-Bomb.
That's cool.
That was a fun cartoon, man. We used to always have stars in there. Alfred Woodard, Shaq came in there. It was always cool. You got to work with so many big stars. I have a funny story about that, though. I do have a funny story about Static Shock. When we went to do it, I first went in to do a bit part. And, various voices, people screaming or whatever. And I did those. And then a short while later, I walked out and I said, hey, guys, thanks for the opportunity. So we want to bring you back. We like your voice. We want to bring you back and play another character. I was like, okay, cool. So a few months later, they bring me back to play E-Bomb. Now, of course, in the first episode, E-Bomb fights Static Shock. He hits him with the light. He evaporates and he dies, so to speak, So I walked out, I thanked them. I said, guys, I want to thank y'all for the opportunity. It was great working with y'all. And they all just started laughing. I said, what's so funny? They said, dude, it's a cartoon. The characters don't die. I thought it was like a regular acting job. Like, I'm going to do my 3 days, get killed off, and I'm out of here,
Right.
That actually became a 3-year job.
Wow. I mean, I've always wondered who played his voice, but that's cool. I always wanted to play a monster voice for the Scooby Doo cartoon. I always wanted to be the Red Kool Aid monster, but for some reason they didn't like me. So, it's all good though.
Wow, only you. Well, definitely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, it is the I Got Something to Say radio show, the D Hour Show Radio Network, and we're in the studios with the very talented, the very gifted actor, director, producer, Gary Anthony Sturgis, and we're just getting it in with him. What we're going to do before we have our next co-host to have a couple of questions for the very talented Gary Sturgis, we're going to take a quick musical break right now. And, Gary, you mentioned something earlier about, you know, wanting to do something, another career choice in life, but you selected something else, but you kept going. That's the main thing that I'm trying to make. So in this musical break, we're going to go ahead and give you a little bit of Carrie Hilson, you know, love knocks you down. Instead of saying love knocks you down, sometimes one door closes, but there's a window open somewhere. So don't give up on your dreams to the listening audience. We want you to steadfast and keep believing in what you're doing because it's going to happen for you. So would that be a fair statement, Gary?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would, totally.
Absolutely. That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't go nowhere. It's D. Slate, CK, Miss Fabulous, and the very talented actor, director, Gary Sturgis. We'll see you right back in a few minutes. Don't go nowhere, and I mean it. Yes, Kelly, Carrie Hilson, Love Knock You Down. We'll be back.
Not again. Oh, this ain't supposed to happen to me.
Keep rocking and keep knocking. Whether you Louboutin it up or Reebokin, you see the hate that they serving on a platter. So what we gon' have, dessert or dessert?
I never thought I'd be in love like this. When I look at you, my mind goes on a trip. Then you came in.
Before my classes, how could a goddess
ass. I'm on the Sony average for advice. OMG, you listen to that, bitch? Woe is me, baby, this is tragic. Cause we had it, we was magic. I was flying, now I'm crashing. This is bad, real bad, Michael Jackson. Now I'm mad, real mad, Joe Jackson. Usually your boyfriend now, I'ma ask him.
So you gotta take the good with the bad, happy and the sad. Well, will you bring a better future than I had in the past?
Oh,
cause I don't wanna make the same mistakes I did.
Besides acting and directing that you haven't done that you would like to do?
That's a good question. But I just, you know, recently I've been trying my hand at directing, and I love that. And I've been writing for quite a while, and I love that. I'm pretty much done everything I want to do. I think, if anything, I probably just want to do it on a bigger scale and more often. The things that I do, I'm very comfortable with each and every one of those things, from writing to producing to directing to acting. I could do any one at any given time and be happy with it, but I would just probably say I would just want to do more of it with bigger budgets.
Okay. All right, that's what's up. Now my next question, my final question is, 100 years from now, when Hollywood is still upscale and is still doing movies and they look back on legends and they say, what would you, you know, say about Gary Sturgis? What would you want them to remember you for in your part in film and directing and the whole film industry?
I that's a very good question. I would think 100 years from now, when people look back, I would like for them to look back and say, you know, this guy created and brought some of the most interesting stories to cinema that we've ever seen. Just like James Cameron did with movies like Avatar and Titanic and things like that. Sometimes you do a movie that is just simply epic and it's simply unforgettable. And I would like to be, 100 years from now, I'd like to be looked back as, when they're looking at filmmakers, especially black filmmakers, I want them to be able to say, hey, you know, this guy had a brand that was memorable. You know, he did works that we loved and we enjoyed and that were interesting and different and was memorable. And, you know, and hopefully to the point that it stands up next to my white counterparts that's doing the same thing. Because like I always said, you know, I'm an actor, not a black actor. I'm a filmmaker, not a black filmmaker. I'm just a filmmaker who happens to be black. So I would like to hopefully stand up next to my white counterparts and have the same respect that they get, because I entertained the world, not just America, but the world, with some stories that came out of my head, gifts that God gave me. And I shared those gifts with the world, and that the world received them well, and 100 years from now, they still be classics.
That's real.
Yeah. Right,
that was a great question. That was a great question, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, I like to appreciate, you know, CK for asking that question, because oftentimes, you know, we have a tendency to put color in the conversation of Hollywood, which there is a huge differential, major, you know, noticeable difference between that. When we say Hollywood, how a lot of our African-American actors are necessarily B-roll, if you will. You know, they're only expected to play this type of role and that type of role. So in Discovery, you know, in some of the roles in which you've played, Gary, just tell us a little bit about the versatility in being an actor and being to say that is not you. You're, in quotations, you're acting.
Well, I think a lot of times people get the two confused. You know, when you do something really well, people tend to believe it. And, people know me more for playing bad characters like drug dealers and CD boyfriends and things like that. I've done other things, but those are the things that stick in people's minds. And like any role that I would take on, it's my job as an actor, or any job of anybody as an actor, to become that character to the point that the viewing audience no longer sees them, but sees the person that they're playing. And that's the hardest challenge of what it is we do, is making people believe that they're not watching Gary Sturgis, but they're watching Jameson Jackson or Franklin Washington or whatever one of these characters that I'm playing at the time. It takes a commitment. You know, I think that, you know, people like myself, I'm blessed enough to have the skills to do this and make it look easy, so that other people see it. They say, oh, I could do that to my camera roll. And then they realize, oh, this is harder than it looks. Because I think because it's a job that's in the public eye, people think it's easy. Or everybody, oh, I could do that. Oh, I could do that. Not necessarily. It's like, I wouldn't, you know, I've seen many doctor shows, but that don't mean I'm going to go commit surgery on somebody. I've seen many legal shows, but that don't mean I'm going to try to take you to court and win your case. You know what I'm saying? These things are for professionals. And those fields are professional, like lawyers and doctors, they're professionals. It's the same thing in the entertainment business. You have to be a consummate professional to play the kind of roles that I play and make them believable. So, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to commit and be 100% into what it is you're doing to play these type of characters. And it's easy for me because, like I said, it's a gift. God bless me with a talent that, you know, I keep tapping into and finding out more and more things about myself every time I use it. And now I'm just trying to expand that brand and show people roles and things that they haven't seen. Like, a lot of people haven't seen Hot in Cleveland, you know, Betty White show. I play a recurring cop on that show. A lot of people haven't seen Dance Fu. I played a club,
you know,
and it was an excess comedy.
Actually, Gary, I have seen you on there. Now that you've mentioned
that. Wasn't that crazy? Was that not the best death scene you've ever seen in your life? Was that not the funniest scene? My scene in that movie was just phenomenally funny. People don't know I do comedy and stuff like that because I haven't had those opportunities as much. And here's another thing that people don't realize. Before the stuff that I did that you know, the Daddy's Little Girls and the Diary of Mad Black Woman Pride, I've been doing a lot of predominantly white shows and predominantly white films and stuff. I was on Chicago Suns and NYPD Blue, shows like that, The District twice. But our people don't really watch those shows religiously. So they didn't know who I was or what I was doing, but I've been doing this for, you know, almost 30 years of my life. So, you know, it just took a movie that you recently saw to put me into the black audience, so to speak. But white folks been knowing who I was for years. So it's
for
like,
years.
Welcome, my people. Glad you guys finally came along.
Right.
Come on in, black folks. Come on in. The water's fine.
That is real.
Yeah, I actually want to transition because you spoke about, you know, being able to be well diverse. As you know, if you're just tuning in to the I Got Something to Say radio show, D. Slate and Gary Sturgis was pretty much having a conversation about sports. And I actually would like to relate sports to perfecting your craft and to branding, you know, yourself to be marketable or getting yourself out there so other people other than your immediate friends and family would know that you are the superb actor that you are. One, you stated in particularly in preparation for a game, being able to get out there and to brand yourself, it is just that. You have to consider your opponents. You have to consider the other team. You have to consider all of your audience and things of that nature. And two, getting on the field and being able to execute a play, you know, that is put in place. You have coaches. And you have development, and you have practice. So with that being said, getting into the industry and breaking into what we call Hollywood in quotations, I would like to say you're offering something that is more than monetary compensation. You're offering something that is more than pearls. You're offering knowledge. Tell us a little bit about your project that is forthcoming that would incorporate all of the skill set and the tools that you would need in order to become successful.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, for those who don't know, I recently started a workshop. People have been asking me for a long time to try to impart knowledge. I'm always on Facebook giving people tips and tidbits and, you know, constantly giving up knowledge. And people say, well, why don't you come up with a workshop? And for a while I wouldn't do it because I saw, you know, there's so many workshops out there. Everybody's got a workshop. So I said, well, you know, if I'm going to do that, I have to come up with a workshop that offers something different than what everybody else is offering. So I came up with the idea of doing a workshop that actually focuses on the audition process for film and television, because most people's workshops deal with, you know, teaching the basic person how to be an actor. And when I say actor, I mean thespian. I mean stage actor. I mean play to the cheap seats in the back. Project! Be Shakespeare! You know, that kind of stuff. What I wanted to do, because most actors have to learn that. To first learn acting, you should learn stage. I would say that to any actor. Real actors do the stage. But there's also movie stars and film actors, and that's what I've become. From the stage, I've become that. And it's a totally different style of acting. It's a lot more subtle because the camera sees everything. It's not like you have to play big. Because if you do play big, it looks like a play on television. So it's almost like you have to be subtle and more believable and more in the moment. And my workshop basically teaches people how to audition for film and television, because at the end of the day, you could be the best actor in the world. Once you walk in that audition room, your nerves are going to set in, and you're going to make typical mistakes that most people make. And I show people in my workshop how, though you audition and walk out the door, 20 more people walk in behind you, and they read the same copy, and you need to see what they're doing to understand why you're not booking. They need to see what you're doing to understand why they're not booking. And when you look back at all these tapes, you realize most people are making the same common mistakes. That little sexy move you thought that looked like Angela Bassett when you did it, it didn't. That little dope little thing, that little smile you threw down, thought that was your Denzel you was getting on, wasn't that hot. So when you get to see these things on film, it helps the actor to adjust their performance and to actually embrace the fact that their nervousness took the best of them. And we all laugh about it, and then we go back in and we start making corrections on the things that they're making mistakes on. Because at the end of the day, it's about booking jobs. Anybody in the entertainment business knows you're only going to get so many opportunities a year to read for something. It's a numbers game. If you read 100 auditions and you got 10 jobs, you were lucky. So if you're only reading 10 auditions, the chances are you're only going to get one job. So we're trying to enhance the opportunities for people to better the numbers when they go out to audition. You know, if you weren't booking much after you take this workshop, you have a better idea of what the casting people and the producers are looking for, because I make you, the person in the class, sit in my seat as the casting person, and you get to watch objectively yourself and everyone else. And I'm telling you, not one time since I've done this workshop has an actor picked himself for the job. They'll watch the auditions, and honesty is an interesting thing. You watch the truth. You know, acting is truth. You see the truth performed in front of you, and everybody starts applauding. Oh, yeah, she did great. Well, that's why she got the job, and you guys are all sitting at home waiting for your phone to ring. See, this is what you didn't see when you got in your car and left. This person came and did what you weren't willing to do. This person came, dropped the script, and performed the part. You came and holding the script, not making eye contact, all these little things that distract you from doing the job where people can see your talent. My job is to help you eliminate those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what are some of the states in which you've kicked off and some of the areas in which you desire to bring your workshop to?
Okay, well, let me explain. We started off, I was out also a weekend in Houston, and I decided to stay extra week to try the workshop there. It was a very, very good success in Houston to the point that we're going to go back. But this week, we actually have our first Los Angeles workshop. Will be the 23rd and the 24th of this month, which is next weekend. So for those in Los Angeles that might want to see what it is we're doing, you can come out this weekend. We're going to be putting it down. Then we're going next month. We're going to be, let's see, I'm going to get the schedule. We've got Baltimore, Maryland on 13th and 14th, so that's for the Baltimore, D.C. area. And then we're going back to Houston on the 27th and 28th. Now, we're setting up future workshops in Dallas, New York, Virginia. I'm in talks with quite a few people now, because one of the things we started doing is the demand started going up for the workshop. We started offering people the opportunity to host the workshop. This takes a lot of pressure off of me in cities that I don't really have a lot of friends or connections in. You know, it allows other people to partner with me to bring the workshop to their city, and we can make money on the workshop together. They can help me find bodies, find locations, things that I can't always do because I'm in one place and they're already there. It's easier for them to be on the ground. So I actually have on my website a hosting page where people who want to host the workshop can make money with me by simply bringing the workshop to their town and helping me to network and market it to the people in their area. So I do it both ways. Either I'm doing it or it's a hosted workshop by someone else. So anybody that's listening, I love to partner with you to bring the workshop to your town. And I like to do at least 20 cities before this year is out. I got a lot of things on my plate. I got a go-kart tournament going on in the fall. I got, you know, films that I have to do at certain times. But I would like to squeeze in at least 15 to 20 cities this year, so that we can get this ball rolling and people can understand that we've got a workshop that works.
Right, and, you know, with Cater Specific, as we kind of close out, Cater Specifically, your workshop is really, really different from your standard, your average celebrity, you know, driven or celebrity-hosted workshop. One, you do the auditioning where you allow for the audience to either have hands-on or have a take-home type of a tape. And then the other thing, which you do, because you're working on some current projects, as you stated, you know, and as I stated, you know, for our listening audience, he is a writer, director, producer, you know. So he has a couple of film projects, meaning Gary Sturgis, that's going to be forthcoming. And what do you do? You normally do what, Gary, for those who attend the workshop?
The copy that you read, outside of the commercial copy that I give you, because we both do commercial and theatrical copy. The theatrical copy that you read is usually a project that I'm about to shoot or gearing up to shoot in the near future. So technically, because it's an audition-based class, you're technically auditioning for my films while you're doing it. So it's a great opportunity. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. There's a couple of guys off in Houston that read for the movie. I just wrote a movie while I was in Houston called The Click. We're trying to produce this movie in May. And we had auditions after my workshop in Houston. We had auditions. A few actors came out, and we actually cast two actors from that workshop. So sometimes the workshop does more than just give you knowledge. Sometimes you might even end up with a job. So, you know, you will be reading a copy of things that I wrote and pieces from scripts that I wrote. Like, we're doing horror movies right now. I'm doing a bunch of horror shorts. I'm always looking for actors for those. So you'll be reading copy for these types of things. So everything that you read will be bona fide, real copy. So technically, though you're auditioning in a class setting, you're really auditioning for me.
Right. And what I am more so excited about, Gary, you know, you have the two-day workshop. You give opportunity, you know, for rising actors and actresses and things of that nature, people who want to break into the industry, the price. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I thought maybe it was a misprint or a typo when I initially read this. For a two-day workshop, tell the people why you selected this price and all that is incorporated into the price. Why that amount?
Okay, well, my two-day workshop was $250, and I wanted to keep it, you know, I didn't want to go, you know, too high in trying to do a workshop, and I wanted to give people more time than just one day, because somebody was able to do 250 for one day. I'm like, no, I want to give people 2 days of my time, because the first day we'll focus on things with scripts. On the second day, we'll focus on things without it, because you'll get a better performance out of an actor when they no longer have the paper as a hindrance. So the first day we deal with co-reading, and the second day we deal with, okay, today's the day you got the call back and you got to come in without the script. And this is where you separate the boys from the men. This is where you see who the professionals are. And you start to gauge who's going to probably have a better chance at making you in this business than other people, because this is where the commitment comes in. How bad do you want it? So we do 2 days for a reason. And I made the price point $250 to keep it affordable for people. Yes, so. There's still enough money for me to be able to, you know, come to your town and do what I have to do. I have to still set up stuff, you know, to buy a plane ticket. I got to come to you. The mobile workshop.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, I have to make it, you know, I didn't want to make it to the price point too high to where there was current economy where people couldn't afford it, but I definitely wanted something. You're getting 12 hours plus of my time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, 6 hours a day you're going to be with me. And usually after the workshop, I'll hang around for another hour or two, you know, talking to people, or depending on where the workshop is. If it's at a bar or something, or they come to networking mixer, and you get another 3-4 hours of my knowledge just by hanging around having drinks with me. So, you know, we try to, I try to give people as much of my time as I possibly can. I just want to keep the price point affordable.
Absolutely. So along with the two-day workshop and closing, you have that as an option, and you also have a one-day workshop, which is being offered. Now, along with those, say, for instance, okay, we would love to have the two-day workshop, but right now, you know, there are other things going on, such as X, Y, and Z, and at this particular time, we still want to be a part of what you're doing, and we still want to obtain that knowledge from a professional. Do you accept speaking engagements?
Yes. Yes, I do. I've done speaking engagements all over the place. I've done Praise in the Park in Muskogee, Oklahoma, where the mayor was 19 years old. I saw that on the news before I went. They said the guy was a 19-year-old mayor. And then almost a year later, I'm in Muskogee doing Praise in the Park. I had to speak to a bunch of degenerate kids who had all been shot, stabbed, or in jail at some point in their life. And they said every year they had this event, there was a fight. And this was the 10th or 11th year. And I went up and spoke for 2 hours, and I walked amongst these kids, and there was no fights, no violence, no nothing, because Gary wasn't having it. I talked to these kids. And I talked to these kids in a way that even the pastors were looking at me like, no, you can't say that to them. You can't say that to them. And I just told them things like, look, with your pants sagging and stuff like that, that's not cute, man. That's not cute at all. In jail, that was a way of telling other men that you were available for sex. That's what that meant. So while you're walking around here on the streets with your pants sagging and guys are looking at you like, hey, what's up, Rod? What's up, dude? How you doing? They're looking at you like that because their jail time told them that you were available for sex. Not to mention, I'm the kind of guy that likes to see what the rest of your drawers look like. So when I get off the stage, if I see your pants sagging, I'm pulling your pants down, but I want to see how long they are. So
that's right.
Them kids, the sheriff told me when we went to walking through the park, man, the sheriff said, did you see that? Did you see that? I said, see what? See, every time you walk past these kids, they start pulling their pants up. I said, that's because, and I'm saying it for everybody in earshot, that's because I'm a man. And at the end of the day, when men start being men again, all of these bad kids that we're spewing out of our testicles will stop acting a fool. Be a
That's
man.
Right.
They're all kids,
That's right.
man. They're kids acting like men. When they see a real man, they know what it is.
That's right. And it's respect. Well, Gary,
we actually
have a caller on the line right now. We're going to go ahead and take a caller, and then we're going to go ahead and go around the studio with our closing remarks. So I'm going to defer to you, D. Slate, for a caller. Who do we have on the line?
Absolutely. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. Area code 757-402. You're on the I Got Something to Say radio show with Gary Sturgis. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Tamika Woodenborn, calling from Virginia.
Woo-hoo.
Hi, Gary.
Hey. Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Well, I have a question for you about getting into the industry. Okay. Independent filmmaker looking to relocate to Los Angeles, and you have this dream, but once you get there, what advice would you give to get started?
The one thing about this business that's interesting is it's like snowflakes. What might work for one person might not work out for another person. Whereas Robert Townsend used credit cards to get his films made, Tyler Perry took some half of his own money and did it. And there's another cat who might have, sold drugs to do it. I mean, everybody's got a way that they go about doing their thing. The one thing that I will tell you that's universal in this business, it's not what you know, it's who you know. My advice to you when you get to a town like Los Angeles is put yourself in and around everywhere where industry people hang and get to know as many people as you can. The cool thing about this town is a person that might be a PA today can be a CEO tomorrow. So you never know who you're talking to. So my thing is befriend everybody, trust no one. Befriend everybody and trust no one. In this town, people will blow more smoke up your behind about what they can do. You have to use discernment to be able to tell who's talking crap and who's for real. But, that comes with time and being around people. You'll notice when you come to this town, I'm from the South, when you come to this town, everybody says the right thing, but very few people mean it. You know what I'm saying? So the hardest problem that you're going to have in Los Angeles is dealing with people saying that they can do stuff that they can't. Remember, this is the place that people come to reinvent themselves. Whatever you was in Muskogee, whatever you was in Utah, nobody know that you this wasn't cracking for you and that wasn't cracking for you. You got here, you was a producer. You got here, you was a movie star. You just totally reinvent yourself when you get here. So most people, what you see is a facade. It's not really who they are. Not many people are going to be like me and just be themselves because, throughout the fame and all that, I tell people all the time, acting is what I do. It's not who I am. So, I don't get crossed up in the fame of it all. I don't care about red carpets. I don't care about none of that. None of the fame stuff. I care about the fortune part. So my advice to you would simply be to come to this town, hit the ground running, and start making as many contacts as you can. As you realize people can't do the things they say they can do, wipe them off the list, fill them with other people.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes, Tamika is a very, very gifted and talented. And thank you for the resource, Tamika. Tamika is like my sister from another mother. She is a fabulous filmmaker. She's an author. She's a philanthropist. She is so, so awesome. So I'm so glad to call her my sister from another mother.
Call me for a job.
Yes.
I want to work.
Real? I might need to call you for a job.
Yeah, it goes both ways. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'd love to see some of your work.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes.
I'll get it.
And that's how it starts. You just got your first Hollywood contract.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to it.
Oh, you should.
I'm kind of saying, I will.
Man of my word.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for the interview.
You're welcome.
Yes.
No problem. Have a good night, guys.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, do we have any more callers on the line, D. Slade?
Not right now, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be coming in a minute, in a little bit.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is go ahead and go around the room with our closing remarks for the very, very talented, gifted national on our show, the I Got Something to Say show, Mr. Gary Sturgis. I'm telling you, he has given us a wealth. He has given us a wealth and a wealth, I can't say it enough, of information to reinvent and, some things that you actually said when you were speaking to the very lovely Tamika Wenborn. That stuff is true. People can say all day long who they are. I believe that Halloween is 365. You don't necessarily have to have one day to say, that it's Halloween. People wear masks all the time. But, again, you have to have that discernment to be able to say, hey, I'm going to put my trust in this person and make this thing work. Hollywood is Hollywood, but you being the person that you are and being able to make strides and give back to the community, that makes it more so the being. So for that, you have longevity, almost 30 years in the making of, doing what you do and doing it well. And that's imperative. Mm-hmm. So you're
Thank
welcome.
You
Let's go to CK so we can go ahead with our closing remarks. CK, what would you like to say for the very talented Gary Sturgis on tonight?
First and foremost, I just want to say thank you. You provide a lot of information that help a lot of people, and what you're doing will set forth your legacy that stands behind. Keep doing what you're doing, that's all I can tell you. I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. And
I got more for you.
Absolutely. And also, I'm going to defer right now to our CEO of the Radio Station Network. I mean, I'm just still, like, overwhelmed with the information. I mean, it's a difference between an interview and it's a difference between an interview with wisdom. And what we have gained here today, ladies and gentlemen, I know we didn't take a lot of musical breaks, but sometimes you have to pause for the cause. And definitely for this gentleman out of Hollywood, this is what he does. This is not who he is. You know, obviously it's a humble man before us because he spent so much time, you know, in preparation to give us information. So definitely I applaud you and I challenge you, if you're in any of these vicinity demographics in which were mentioned, or you would like for Gary Sturgis to come to your area, we're going to make certain that the information is made available for you so you can access that resource. So at this particular time, I'd like to defer to D. Slate for his closing remarks or questions or inquiries that he may have for the talented Gary Sturgis.
First, before I make my closing remarks, Gary, I'm kind of curious. I was curious and wondering which character voice did you play on Spider-Man?
Oh, wow. It was there on the Spider-Man joint. It was I did Luke Cage. Was it Luke Cage on that? No, that was, God, I keep forgetting. I know I did various voices on most of them. Usually when I do Spider-Man, Batman, things like that, it's never really one set villain. It's like various voices. There's always all, you know, the reporters and the people that scream and hollering and the guy who walks up like, oh, my God, it's Spider-Man, you know. So I just do random voices on those. I don't always have the good fortune of playing the main character or the title character. So on the Spider-Man joint, it was like, I know I got a Batman movie that's out right now where I played a pimp named Silk. And a few of the mutants in the movie. So the Silk character, as soon as you see it, you know it's me. It sounds like me. It's a pimp in the car about to cut this prostitute face or whatever for not making him enough money. And then Batman snatches him out of the car and starts beating him up and stuff. But people saw it and thought, I saw the movie and thought it was hilarious.
I know what you're talking about. That was you. Okay.
That was me, yeah. And it's funny, ironically, my older brother Abraham, his nickname is Silk. So it's kind of funny I got to play him.
Oh, wow.
All right, I like that, bro. I like that.
First of all,
Gary, I just want to say that, it's always an honor for me, man, to chat it up and talk to intelligent brothers like yourself. It's always good to see intelligent brothers in the industry, you know, dropping science and dropping great knowledge on not only but what you're doing, but, you know, different things that people should definitely look out for and things that people should definitely check out and just giving great advice to individuals about this industry and being an entertainer. Not only are you a phenomenal entertainer, but you're a phenomenal person as well. You know, looking at some of the things that you've done in the entertainment business and other things that you've done as a person, man, and being down to earth and funny, I find that to be an incredible quality. Not only for a person like yourself, but an entertainer, and it's always refreshing to see entertainers like yourself, man, being the type of person that you are. And wholeheartedly, I have to say that I truly do think you are a phenomenal man and entertainer, and it's truly an honor, man, to have you on the show with us tonight. And as far as we're concerned on the network, you're no longer a guest, man. You're a family member on the DL Radio Network, man. And anytime you want to stop by, hang out with us. Oh yeah, anytime you want to stop by, hang out with us, talk to us, man. You have a key, bro. You're more than welcome. We had an absolute and a phenomenal time with you tonight. And I thank you for that.
Well, but I don't know what to say, man. I'm totally honored. That was really, really nice what you just said, and I appreciate it wholeheartedly. I totally received that, and I'm glad to be part of the family.
Absolutely.
Yes. And, Gary, before you actually close it out with us, could you please provide us with the information and how we can be connected about information regarding your workshops or how we can see more of Gary Sturgis or to learn about just things that you have forthcoming in general?
Okay, well, you know, for the workshop information first, the workshop is called Movie Star Workshop. You can Google Movie Star Workshop with Gary Sturgis, or you can go to the number one, celebrity.wix.com/moviestars. Once again, that's onecelebrity.wix.com/moviestars. or you can Google us at Movie Star Workshop with Gary Sturgis. Those who are on Facebook, you know, you can catch me on Facebook under my name, Gary Sturgis, that's S-T-U-R-G-I-S. And I'm always updating the website constantly with new dates and new locations. For those out there who want to host the workshop, hit us up and let's set it up, man. I'd love to come to your town. You can have Gary Sturgis in your backyard. All it takes is a phone call.
Absolutely. And it's actually you. It's not your manager. It's not your publicist. It is actually you. And that's why I want to applaud. You know, prior to this interview, we had another interview on another network, and we had the opportunity to speak. You know, as soon as I corresponded with you, instantaneously you responded back to me. So I wanted to say for that I am also grateful and just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And even to Tamika Winborn for that connection. That's what it's all about, folks, you know, being able to, you know, make connections and share information. It's not like a, you know, a secret or anything like that. We have to be able to work together. It's extremely imperative. So if you can't benefit from the workshop or, you know, or if it's not able to be of cost to you or things of that nature, disseminate the information is what I'm saying, because sharing is all about caring. So somebody may
That's
be
what
able
I tell
to
people.
Utilize
I,
the information.
I tell
That's
people
right.
all the time, you know, the best form of advertising is simply word of mouth. It's always worked. It has worked before there was internet, before there was telephones, before there was planes, trains, and automobiles. People advertise things by word of mouth. So I tell
That's
people
right.
all the time, it does not cost you anything to tell people about my workshop. It doesn't cost you anything to share this link. It doesn't cost you anything to pass on the information, because there's somebody out there that needs the opportunity, because they want to get off into this business and they're having a hard time booking jobs, and I can help them with that, especially in some towns like your Baltimore's and D.C.'s and Virginia's, you know, where there's not an influx of a whole bunch of work. The opportunities are smaller, so the numbers are smaller, so you have to book when the opportunities come. You don't have as many chances. So I want to, you know, help people to better that. And I take pride in it. You got to understand, this is a workshop that I actually take pride in. I believe in what I'm doing. And I believe in how I'm teaching people what I'm teaching them, because it's all about the test. If you cannot pass a test, then most people don't test well. Let's just be real. Most people don't test well. An audition is nothing more than a test. My job is to help you pass the test.
Well, I tell you what, Gary.
I got one more thing to say about you, though. I got to say this about Poetic Justice. For those who don't know, because she said something that was very important a minute ago, I'm a hands-on type of guy. I got a publicist, I've got managers, I've got agents, I've got all those things. But when it comes down to dealing with me for interviews and business with my workshop, you're going to talk directly to me. And she'll tell you, we spoke for 4 hours before
we did
one of the interviews. I called her up and we talked for about 4 hours. So she got to know me as a person, and I got to know her as a person. So that would make the interview process just as fun as it's been. So I want people to know I'm not one of those just pop in when it's time to do the job. Me and her had a conversation long before this. So I did correspond with her, and I communicated for 4 hours with her. 4 hours. We had to pry ourselves off the phone.
That's right, 4 hours. I see you. I see you. It's an inside joke.
I see you.
Yes, I see you. Definitely in the United States of America. And we know we have a lot of international listeners as well of the Hour Show Radio Network and the I Got Something to Say show. Definitely, you know, people, folks, if we don't take advantage of this wonderful service within the state, somebody from overseas, a promoter or somebody, an investor, is going to snatch up on this opportunity because there are a lot of people overseas definitely that love the culture and who want to reinvent themselves. So, definitely, you know.
Auditions are the same everywhere. Yeah, auditions are the same everywhere. I'll go overseas. If you guys want me to come to Australia, Trinidad, wherever, I'll go overseas. Auditions are the same no matter where you go. You know,
that's
the
right.
process is all the same. So my workshop is universal. It works anywhere. Only thing I ask is if you bring me overseas to another country, can people just speak English? Because I don't speak nothing else. I don't know how to, I go to Zimbabwe, I'm kind of, I don't know how to speak nothing but English, man. I don't know what to do. So it's kind of like, you know, just bring me places where the actors speak English, even if it's Queen's English, even if it's proper, even if they're really stuffy with the way they talk. It's all fine with me. I just need to be places where people speak English. But we do go overseas in addition to doing the cities in America. So if you want to host my workshop, holla at your boy.
Fabulous. Well, you know, Gary, it's been a pleasure, and as always, we really appreciate your effort and your opportunity to share your evening with us. here on the D Hour Show Radio Network, the I Got Something to Say show. So I'll definitely make it a point to repost or send a direct link where people can get more information about all the great things that you're doing. Gary, I just wanted to say once again, thank you so very much for hanging out with us, and truly, do not be a stranger. Hopefully we can get you back on at some point of the year to do like a follow-up interview. Because
I would love
really,
that.
Really dig your work. Yes, absolutely.
I would totally love that. I would totally love that. Yes. And just for the record, absolutely. for all those listening, you know, you've probably heard my voice do a lot of different things tonight, but, you know, for those who will be wondering, you know, is that really him? You can't make up a voice like this, okay? This is, you kind of can't make this up. People meet me all the time and they say, I didn't know you really sounded like that. I'm like, what did you think? They hired me and they got Sam Jackson to do the voiceover? But you
can't
do it.
They made up with the platinum voice, baby.
You know, yeah. Ain't that a trip? So for the ladies out there, you know, come take my workshop, you know. I want to give a shout out to the I Got Something to Say radio show, CKD Slay, Poetic Justice, the hottest. You guys rock.
Thank you. And also, you forgot to, one quick shout out you forgot to do. You are a member of what, Gary?
Who, what now? We got to put that out there. For all the Greeks out there, you know, because a lot of people don't know this, but for all the Greeks out there, I'm a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. University of New Orleans. Batman, I'm a dog, baby.
Shoe dog, baby.
From all my frat brothers out there, I need y'all to promote my workshop, frat. I need y'all to promote, help us out. I'm leaning on the sheet.
All right. So all those Omegas, yes, yes, yes. In Norfolk, Virginia, you all had like a meeting. I saw the bras coming out of the venue in which I was hosting a stage play. So when they saw my Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated tags, they were like, oh, we're sorry. But you're still our sister because, you know, the cat chased the dog and the dog chased the cat.
Why must I feel like that? Why must I chase that cat? I swear to you, Tuesday, when that song comes on, I just can't help but run to the middle of the damn floor. I'm like, stop it. You're too over this shit. It's like, so I can't help it. I love that song. It's our theme song. Anybody who knows the cues know when Atomic Dog come on, bruh. Tongues hanging out, chains swinging, and they all hopping. So, you know, brother, the girl out there, you know, help me out with my workshop. I can use the frat's help. I'm leaning on the shield, brothers. Leaning on the shield.
That's real.
On the shield. You heard it, Divine Nine first from the I Got Something to Say radio show. What we're going to do is take a little commercial break and go ahead and get into our musical mix. When we come back, we're going to be closing out the I Got Something to Say radio show. So this has been a tremendous, tremendous show. Don't go nowhere. Keep it locked right here. It's 49 minutes after the hour. 49 after the hour. It's the I Got Something to Say radio show. D Slate, CK, Miss Fabulous, Gary Sturgis in the building. Let's go.
In the building.
you to pause and slow your walk, so maybe we can talk and I can try to charm you. Just trying to find out who you are. I don't mean to come off like a telemarketer. I ain't no hood, no crook, no robber. I just want a part of your heart I can borrow sometimes. And maybe I can call you up. And maybe I can take you out. So let's exchange digits and later arrange digits. Either your face or my yeah. It's a different type of commitment. I'm talking about a true friendship. Someone I can depend on and be down no matter what. Let me know if you're with it, cause girl. All disrespectful on my convo is a little bit too sexual, but damn, it's incredible. Be more flexible, cause the context of this text is sexual. But wait, let me explain it. A buddy is an equal beneficial arrangement. A buddy is a buddy that don't be complaining with. His or her buddy ain't the buddy that came with sometimes. And maybe I can call you up. And maybe I can take you out. So let's exchange digits and later arrange digits. Either your place or mine, yeah. It's a different type of commitment. I'm talking about a true friendship. Someone I can depend on if you're down no matter what. Let me know what you're with it, cause girl, if you were my B-U-T-D-Y. The definition of a real buddy is
that one. Yeah.
Oh,
through the city with me.
Together there's no limit to what
we can do.
And once we in it, girl, it's all about
me and you.
So baby, what you say?
Number one.
Listening to the show.
this GB, that stands for girl breath. And I'm one of the regular personalities on the I Got Something to Say radio show. Let's go.
We are back live. It's 1 minute after the hour, 1 minute after the top of the hour. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have had an epic evening on tonight. We have the opportunity to speak with actor, director, producer, voiceover artist, and the list goes on. We're talking about no other than the famed celebrity, Mr. Gary Anthony Sturgis, is still in the building with us on the I've Got Something to Say radio show. I'm the hostess with the mostest on the microphone, Poetic Justice, a.k.a. Miss Fabulous, my esteemed, yes, fearless leader, CEO of the D Hour Show Radio Network, Mr. D Slate, is in the building, and our brother, our correspondent, our true trooper, should I say, and co-host, Mr. CK, is also in the building on tonight. You know, truthfully, we've had a lot of celebrities who has graced our studio, who have graced the listening ear of all the people that support you. And really, truly, we couldn't have done any of this without you all. So for that, on tonight and every other night of the D Hour Show Radio Network, we applaud you and we thank you. We're just getting out of the Love, Peace, and Neo Soul Sessions. Countdown number three kicked in on So Sick with Neo. Love him. Singer, songwriter, producer. Number two kicked in at one of our former special guests on the D Hour Show Radio Network. That's right, Mr. Music Soul Child with Buddy. And it's an acronym, B-U-D-D-Y. And then number one song kicked in another very lovely, talented lady who's also been a guest previously on the D Hour Show Radio Network. And particularly, yes, the I Got Something to Say show. I'm talking about no other than Tedra Moses with Last Day. Yes, 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 a little entertainment, a little education. I like to also refer to that as edutainment. Got it? See, yeah, so we're going to make certain that we fulfill your soul, make you move, make you laugh, but most importantly, make you think about things. So we're probably going to go around the room and just kind of give our last-minute commentary as it relates to, you know, the show and the industry and so forth. And I do want to say this in parting words. March is National Women's Month, so salute once again to all the women who are in the industry that are making strides, that are able to give a contribution, you know, to the world, not just in which you live or your backyard. There are so many women, and we're able to be upright instead of having to lay down in order to make it. I definitely want to give a shout out, and he's not a woman, of course, but he comes from a woman, a shout out to my brother over in Australia. Yes, Jeffrey Upton just hit in, and he's listening to the show all the way in Australia. So I'm psyched about that. Hey, you know, we've got it over there, too, of course. So definitely shout out for National Women's Month. So now, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Sturgis is on the line. You have one more opportunity to call in, but we're going to be closing out. It's always never a goodbye. It's always see you later. So we're going to start with you, CK. What are your thoughts as it relates to tonight's show, about the industry, and also kicking it with our true friend and family member, should I say now, Gary Sturgis?
Tonight's show was phenomenal. I learned a lot. And Gary, you too cool, down to earth. That's what we need more of. This image that plays, but you were phenomenal. You cool, too cool.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
I think the family member that I didn't know anything about. So yeah, I appreciate.
Thank you so much, man. Y'all get your check from the mail.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna send that link card to you too, CK. You got the link card on the way, bro.
All right.
Yes. Now, CK, you're also an author and a poet yourself. Do you have any last-minute industry questions? Because, like I say, Anthony, I'm sorry, you all refer to him as actor Gary Anthony Sturgis. Okay, let me be proper about this thing. That you have any last-minute questions for Gary Sturgis?
In addition to being a player.
All right. So what we're going to go ahead and do is go around the room. D. Slate, do you have any last-minute remarks or commentary also as a filmmaker, as a CEO of a very prominent radio station, and all the other things that you do, poet, spoken word artist, motivational speaker, and so forth? A lot of people don't know it, and a stand-up comic. Do you have any questions by way of artistry for a producer or industry questions for Gary Sturgis?
No, I just have a comment, and I think everybody and you guys, you know, my family, you guys know that I talk about this a lot on the show because of different articles that we've come across and that we talked about. I can truly say that, and this is why I respect and appreciate Gary so much, because I can truly say that you are that type of individual, you are that type of entertainer that I've always talked about. And when I said that, when you're in the business, when you decide, and like you mentioned earlier, when you decide you want to be a star, when you decide that you want to be in the spotlight, when you decide that you want to be a superstar, and whatever entails of that, you decide to take on everything that comes with that. Okay,
yep.
You decide to take on everything a part of that package and everything that comes with that. So with that being said, when you hear about, you know, stars going off on people and getting mad at people and snapping off of people with Twitter rants and all this other stuff, I'm just an average person, you know, get them cameras out of my face, you know, I'm just trying to shop. No, when you decided to be a superstar, that came with it. All of that stuff came with it. So you have to be that type of person, individual, and understand that, you know what, I'm not going to trip on that. It's all good, because this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted.
Well,
it's
funny. You're right. But I've kind of been that guy that bucks the system. Because if you ever watch my Facebook, like right now I got a big church discussion going on my Facebook. And, you know, that's what you're supposed to talk about. Religion? Oh, no. But I like making people talk. I like saying things to make people talk and get conversation and dialogue going, because I think the biggest problem with people is that they don't realize, like in my case, I vent sometimes. You know, I'm the kind of person, I have a bad day, I'll say it. And people are like, oh, you can't say that. Why not? I'm a person just like you. I mean, I understand what comes with the job, but I'm still a human being, and I'm going to force people to understand that I'm a person just like you. And just like you had a bad day on your postal job, I had a bad day on my acting job. So I've been in mine just like you been in yours. But when you're in the public eye, it's like, hey, you can't do that. Watch me. I'm going to do whatever I want. You know, at the end of the day, my life is on public display. It ain't going to always be good, you know, but I roll with the punches, because like when Bill Clinton got that blowjob at the White House, while everybody was saying he should be impeached, I kept saying to myself, wow, he's human. He's human,
right?
You know what I'm saying? He's a man. He's human. He did something most men would do in power. So you got my vote, Bill. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Gary,
I relate to you.
Hey, Gary, Bill never said that he didn't get the blowjob.
Right.
He just said, I did not have sex with that woman.
Right, he said, I did not have sex with that woman. Like he said, it depends on what the definition of is. You know what I'm saying? Bill Clinton got a little black off in him, okay? He got a little African-American blood. I mean, when the man said, that depends on what the definition of is, I was done. I was like, that's my guy. You got my vote because you're a flawed man just like me. And at the end of the day, that's what people identify with. People identify with people who are relatable to themselves. And I'm relatable to people because I'm not some big-time superstar that lives on a perch above everybody. I'm a regular guy who does a phenomenal job, who relates to the people in the same way that they relate to me. Some people get mad. People delete me all the time for making comments they don't like. It ain't my job to say what you want to hear. I'm just an actor with an opinion. So I understand we're the public eye, and we do hold, you know, some responsibility, because people do look up to what we're doing. But I tell people all the time, I'm not really a role model. Your mom and dad should be a role model. I'm just a guy that acts. You know what I'm saying? So don't follow me. I might not lead you down the right path. But for the most
That's
part,
right.
I tried to. But for the most part, I tried to. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not a religious leader or icon. I say follow what I'm doing. I can lead you by example, but there's always a point where you have to stop and go your own direction. You know, there might be somewhere I go, you'd be like, I can't go down that CD alleyway. I can't go with you. So, you know, you got to walk your own path. But I totally understand what you're saying.
Wow, interesting, interesting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've had the opportunity to laugh, to talk about sports, to chop it up, talk about life. And that's what it's all about because, see, it's called the IEYE, Got Something to Say radio show for a reason because we have visions and what we're saying and what we're hearing, we're speaking, right? So to be able to put all of these things under one umbrella, that is what the D-Hour Show Radio Network is encompassing of. So for that, we are just all so grateful. And I'm telling you, we've had a lot of, you know, interviews, and I've had some great ones. So this right here, this interview right here is actually in that lineup of some of my favorite interviews. So, Gary, on tonight, I definitely, yes, I mean, so down to earth or whatever. And I just wanted to say thank you for your time and for your effort and your work. So give us that website one more time before we glide to the side and, you know, be able
Go
to.
Deal. My website for the Movie Stars Workshop is onecelebrity.wix.com/moviestars. Once again, that's the number one, celebrity.wix.com/moviestars. Or Google Movie Stars Workshop with Gary Sturgis.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. There you have it. It is 12 minutes after the hour, 12 minutes after the hour. And far as myself is concerned, definitely stay tuned. You may be seeing the workshop come to the Hampton Roads area. If not that, a speaking engagement. But we're going to incorporate Gary Sturgis somehow because his services and his expertise is much needed in the state. Two up, two down. Virginia is for lovers. And it needs to be the lovers of how to better brand yourself. And we can spend money on other things that are just things, you know, why not invest into your future or why not invest into a changed career or a career changer? Check me out tomorrow as I will be your hostess with the most on the microphone, lyrically spoken. We're in transition of, you know, switching out different hosts, so every week we'll have a different host. And then also stay tuned for the upcoming stage play, Taylor Made. Yours truly will be serving as the director for that wonderful production. Shout out to LaMeika Williams as well as Patricia Kendall. And, you know, job well done for the stage play, which I emceed last night, the last 3 days. I'm talking about Behind Closed Doors. Alan Devon Whitley did an exceptional job. So that play will be touring, and hopefully we'll be going to North Carolina and a couple other places. And, you know, just stay tuned for so many other things, a movie that I'm going to be producing, you know, Employee of the Year with Charles Farmer, working some stuff out with Tamika Winborn, hopefully be doing some things with Gary Sturgis and with the D-Hour Show Radio Network. So stay tuned. You cannot allow yourself to negate all the things that are forthcoming for the breakthrough year of 2013. So you just have to position yourself and make yourself available for all the opportunities that are forthcoming. This is the hostess with the mostest on the microphone, Ms. Fabulous, signing out, D. Slate, CK, and the very, very famed but yet humble Gary Anthony Sturgis. We're going to throw up the salute to you and leave you with the song. If you want to be able to do something, we want you to touch the sky. This is Touched by Omarion. Good night. And remember, life is short, and so is my real hair. We're going to get up out of here, y'all. Go get a chicken sandwich or something. God bless you all. We love
I'm
you all.
I'm hungry.
You
I'm
hungry,
too.
Yeah, what y'all trying to do? Y'all trying to go get something to eat?
Mm-hmm.
I want a bucket of biscuits.
I want a two-piece and a biscuit.
I know, right? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Sturgis in the building. We
Yo,
love you.
Peace out.
Nice.
Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Look, we've known each other for some time. I think it's time. I've been having visions, fantasies.
My eyes are seen nothing like you. Wanna bite you.
So sweet.
Not trying to be disrespectful,
but I just wanna get you to
back into it and let it touch.
Turn up the radio for the quote of the day. One,